God, you are holy. We do stand with that choir in heaven, declaring, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come forever and ever. Amen. We declare with those angels the great mysteries of who you are, your love and power, your grace and mercy. That you would send your Son to save us sinners, lost, separated, unable to come back to you. That you reached out to us and made a way that we could know and enjoy a relationship with our Creator, our Father, our King and our friend. God, you are good. God, you are holy. We are here this morning to hear from you, that your Spirit would speak to our hearts of your goodness and love and grace, your holiness and justice and righteousness, your love. Speak to us now, Father, as we turn to your word in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, amen. Well, this morning we're going to turn in our Bibles to 1 Peter. Tiny little book near the back. You're going to skip over it a couple of times as you try to find it right after Hebrews, back and forth. 1 Peter, and we're going to read the first part of the first chapter first here as we begin and get a sense of where we're going to be going, because we're starting our new series today. It's going to be exciting. So 1 Peter chapter 1, we're going to listen to the words of the apostle here. And he says this to us: Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to God's elect, exiles scattered throughout the provinces of Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, who have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through the sanctifying work of the Spirit, to be obedient to Jesus Christ and sprinkled with his blood. Grace and peace be yours in abundance. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In all this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your soul. Concerning this salvation, the prophets who spoke of the grace that was to come to you searched intently and with the greatest care, trying to find out the time and circumstances to which the Spirit of Christ in them was pointing when he predicted the sufferings of the Messiah and the glories that would follow. It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves but you, when they spoke of the things that have now been told by those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit from heaven. Even angels long to look into these things. The message of the gospel and the promises of the word inspire even the angels to worship. When they see what God has done for us, for his people, heaven itself is in awe. What God has given us, what he has done for us, his word alive in us, is the very glory of and power of God revealed in his creation. And that should fill us with a desire to worship. God is good. And what he has done is beyond what we can know, but he walks with us that we can know him. Amen? Amen. Well, as I mentioned this morning, we're stepping into our new series, The Word Alive in Us. And this year is just flying along. We're already coming kind of to the end of this year and this journey through this theme, The Word. And Pastor Scott is putting together our series for the summer, and I'm super excited about it. And already I'm looking forward to the fall and the next year and the things that God has in store for us. God is going to be pushing us. He's got a challenge for us. He's got work for us to do, and he's got work to do in us as we seek to bring the reality of his sacred presence and the truth of the gospel to life in the world and in the people all around us. So there is so much yet to come, lots to explore of who Jesus is and what he has done and is doing. Our God is infinite and eternal, all-powerful, all-loving, holy and just, gracious and merciful. And he wants to know you and be known. And that's a journey that spans our whole lives and all through eternity. But it happens one step at a time as he reveals himself to us and works his grace and his gospel in our lives through his Spirit, through his church and the people we walk with together, and through his word. So that's what we've been exploring this year, the power of the word, the beauty of Scripture as it's been giving to us, the things that God has told us about himself and his creation, his plans and his purposes and his message of salvation for us. We started with the nature of Scripture itself back in the fall, looking at the different ways that God speaks through poetry and prophecy, history and law, teachings and wisdom and worship. We wanted to be inspired and humbled by the power and beauty of the word to recognize God's authority and wisdom, that we can follow him and learn his ways. And all of that led us to the manger in the Advent season, the reality of the coming of Jesus, the Word made flesh. That the Word is not just a book, not just ancient writings, but it is a real living person, God himself born to us to reveal God to us. And then within that, to teach us how to live. And so we've been looking for the last few months at the teachings of Jesus, all through specifically the Gospel of Matthew, the red letter word. What he told us about God, about ourselves, about sin and righteousness and salvation, God's plan and mission for us. And now we come to the end of this year and we move toward the summer and all the new things that God has in store for us. And we're coming to the reality of the power of the resurrection and the promise of the helper that Jesus was going to send, the Holy Spirit, to bring the word to life in us. This is the message and the hope and the power of the gospel and the promise of God, that he would not only save us, but transform us. That his work and his power was not outside of us, but in us. That his heart for relationship with us is so deep that he placed his very image in our hearts, and his redemption is a restoration of what he created us to be. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and he walked with us in the garden. And we knew him, and we were with him. There was no separation. We knew and were fully known. Exposed, naked and unashamed before God and one another and all creation, totally vulnerable, emotionally, physically, spiritually, and completely whole, full and content in our relationship with our Creator. But in the fall, we were separated from that only thing we ever knew, The only thing we truly needed, and God became something outside of us and separate from us. His holiness cannot bear sin, and so we could not be with Him. And He cast us away to wander in the wilderness and scratch out our existence from the dust with pain and suffering. And our hearts became filled with anger and jealousy, fear and selfishness, and we could no longer see the one who made us. We no longer knew what was supposed to be. But God did not leave us in that place of separation and loss. And from the very beginning, He began to work His plan of salvation, His plan to bring us back to Himself, to reconnect with His most precious creation. And so He called Abraham to follow and gave him promises of children that would become a nation. This chosen people to reveal God to the whole world. He brought them Moses to save them and protect them, lead them into the land of promise. And He gave His laws to Moses on Mount Sinai, writing down His ways for His people. They built the tabernacle, a place to meet with God. The Ark of the Covenant, the place where God's presence would rest. And God led them into the promised land and showed them His favor and faithfulness, establishing His place in the world. And David built a city, and Solomon built a temple, a place for God's presence to rest on earth, but still separate. Walls and shrouds. Rituals and laws outside of us, separate from us, all to protect God's people, even His own priests, from the power of God's holiness and presence. And God spoke to His prophets and teachers, revealing more of His nature and His plans to His people, writing down His story and His commands and His revelation for them, promising them hope and salvation, that for all the sacrifices and the majesty of the temple, God's word revealed that there was yet one more to come who would not be separate from us, but would bring the presence of God to us, Emmanuel, God with us. And Jesus came, this living Word made flesh, fulfilling the Scriptures and bringing the truth of the presence of God into the world to show us His Father, to save us from our sins, and bring us back into a restored relationship. He was born here, the vine, the gate, the bread of life, the way, the resurrection, and the life. And He taught us what it means to follow God, showed us what it means to walk in relationship with Him, and He died on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins and was raised to new life that we could know eternity with our Father as we were created to know, that the Word could come to life within us. So that's what we're going to be looking at for the next few weeks. We've looked at the story of Scripture, the coming of Jesus, the things He taught us, and now what does it mean for that living Word to give us life? What does it mean for the Word to be alive in us? What does that look like? What happens? What does that do? What should our lives be like if He is alive in us? And already you can imagine all kinds of things. The fruit of the Spirit, the hope of the gospel pouring out of us, worship, holiness, peace, joy, grace, forgiveness, justice. We are changed in so many ways by the truth of the gospel and the presence of the Word in us by the power of the Holy Spirit. And so as I was praying about this, I was asking God how He wanted us to explore this. He was leading us on this journey through the Word, this understanding of His Word. How does He want this to look? And as I was praying and preparing, He led me to the person of Peter and his story and journey and the things he wrote to the church in his letters about what it means to live in the power of the Spirit and the life of the church in the world. What could he show us of what it means to live in the power of the Word alive in us? Peter was a fascinating person in the story of Jesus. He and his brother Andrew were the very first of the disciples that were called by Jesus. He was one of Jesus' closest followers. One of the three that was really there for everything. He saw and heard everything that Jesus said and did. He was there at the wedding at Cana where Jesus changed water to wine and began his ministry. Peter saw the feeding of the 5,000. And he was terrified on that boat as Jesus calmed the storm. Peter saw Jesus call the little children and heal the lepers and the lame and the sick. He saw Jesus cast out demons and even raise the dead to life. He was there. He saw Jesus speaking with the Samaritan woman and heard Jesus confront the Pharisees and saw him flip those tables in the courtyard of the temple. He was with Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration where he saw the glory of God revealed as Jesus transformed before his very eyes. And Peter stepped out of that boat and walked on water until his eyes slipped from his Savior to the fear of the wind and the waves around him. He was with Jesus in the upper room at the end, and he had his feet washed by God himself. He went with Jesus into the Garden of Gethsemane and fell asleep while his Lord swept drops of blood as he prayed all night. He leapt into action at Jesus' arrest and cut off the ear of the servant and was rebuked by Jesus himself. And then went boldly to see where Jesus was taken when he was arrested. And then denied ever even knowing him. As his betrayal is punctuated with the crow of a rooster at dawn. And he flees in shame and agony, knowing a depth of grief and suffering I can scarcely imagine. He raced John to the empty tomb, went inside and stood dumbfounded at what he saw there. No body. Grave clothes, empty. And then he goes out fishing again. And he sees Jesus on the beach. He leaps out of the boat and swims to shore where he meets his Savior again, the one he denied, the one he betrayed. And Jesus forgives him and restores him to his place as the rock upon which God himself will build his church. Do you think a man like that might have something to tell us about what it means to live in the power of Jesus? Peter knew Jesus more deeply and in ways that we can never know. And he understood who Jesus was in a way that I need to understand. And God chose him to lead his church and teach us what it means to live in this new life of the gospel in the world. And he did it to his own death on a cross, crucified upside down because he did not want to die in the same manner as his Lord. He felt he was not worthy to die like Jesus. For about 35 years, Peter led the church. And he traveled around the area of Judea, planting churches and proclaiming the gospel. God performed powerful miracles through him, confirming his calling and authority and message with signs and wonders. The book of Acts tells us that even as Peter would pass by and his shadow would fall on people, God would heal them. He led in great power and humility and authority and proclaimed the truth of who Jesus is, what he had seen with his own eyes and heard with his own ears, that we could know that Jesus is alive and he is God. And in his ministry, he wrote two letters to the church to encourage them and teach them, to teach us how to live, how to follow, to not be afraid, to go boldly, to be the church boldly in the world. How to embrace the hope revealed in the resurrection of Jesus, the hope that he experienced. We call them 1st and 2nd Peter, and in them we have revealed the heart of this man who walked with Jesus and saw things we can hardly imagine. A man of incredible passion and confidence who also was rebuked and failed miserably and knew the forgiveness of Jesus so fully and intimately that his life was changed forever. And to us, to this church, he was called to lead by God himself. To us, this man writes this: Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to God's elect, exiles, scattered throughout the provinces of Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, who have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through the sanctifying work of the Spirit to be obedient to Jesus Christ and sprinkled with his blood, grace and peace be yours in abundance. Already we can hear his heart for the church and the power of Jesus alive in him, the hope that he has, the confidence and boldness that he has in who Jesus is and what he is doing and will do through his church. A church that at the time was under heavy persecution by the Romans, fearing for their lives and scattered across the world. He prays for peace for them and reminds them of the message of the gospel and the work of Jesus in the world, that they are chosen, redeemed, transformed, called to obedience by his blood and empowered by the Spirit. It's power. And he goes on and he celebrates what God is doing in his church. Praise be, he says, to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. New birth into a living hope. This is the gospel, the word alive in us, the Spirit alive in us, the transforming power of the work of God alive in us, bringing us salvation and eternal life and leading us into a mission. to build this kingdom that God has created, that he has called Peter to lead and us to be a part of. He says, this inheritance is kept in heaven for you who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In all this, you greatly rejoice, though for now and for a little while, you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in the praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Peter believed that Jesus was coming back and that it was going to happen soon. I don't know that he could have imagined what God was going to do over thousands of years and billions of people, a part of his church. What God is building is unbelievable. Probably even to Peter himself, he's watching and seeing what God is doing. He is in awe of the power of God revealed in the world. But he knows and knew then that all of this will be brought to a conclusion, that Jesus will return. There is a purpose to all of this. He knows we walk in a world filled with trouble, and all the more so for the believers in his day, suffering under the reigns of Nero and others, hunted, tortured, crucified, but receiving a reward of greater worth than gold and resulting in praise and glory for Jesus. And he encourages those believers. He says, though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. I love that line so much. For you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Our purpose is not comfort. Our purpose is not success. Our purpose is not things here. It is the salvation of our souls, the revelation of the coming of the kingdom. This inexpressible and glorious joy. What an incredible line. This man who knew Jesus, who declared him to be the Messiah. Lord, to whom shall we go? You are the one who has the words of eternal life. The Savior of the world reminds us of the joy of our salvation too. This salvation that he experienced. No matter our circumstances. And the gift of salvation and life that we have received. Now concerning this salvation, he has more to teach us here. Concerning this salvation, the prophets who spoke of the grace that was to come to you searched intently and with the greatest care, trying to find out the time and the circumstances to which the Spirit of Christ in them was pointing when he predicted the sufferings of the Messiah and the glories that would follow. It was revealed to them. We see the plans of God again. It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves, but you. When they spoke of the things that have now been told you by those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, even angels long to look into these things. Peter is living in a spiritual reality, and he sees time itself folding over itself as what God was doing then is what he is doing now, is what he will do. And the angels themselves are in awe of what God is doing. The work that these prophets were doing, that God was doing for them, was not just for them, but for us. For his church, that by his Spirit, their words would become real in our world and become alive in us. That the things that God spoke and the words he gave them to record were for his church so many generations later, that by his Spirit their words would come to life in us. Living in us would become a blessing to the whole world. This is the revelation of the plan of God at work in the world, revealed over millennia, carried faithfully for 1,000 generations of God's people walking with Him, to be brought to life in you, so that you can bring this hope to the people you meet. The angels themselves are inspired with awe at this work of the Word made alive in us, the presence of Jesus by the power of His Spirit through His death and resurrection revealed in our hearts. It is the life and power of the church, living in the world. As the Word of God lives within us together and brings life and light to everything around us, Peter wants us to see what he sees, what God is revealing to him. That we would know what he knows of the power of this man that he walked with to transform our lives and the whole world. What does it mean for the Word to live in you? For the gospel to make its home in your heart? For the revelations of the Scriptures to sharpen and correct and shape and mold your thoughts and your actions? For the illumination of the Spirit to fill you with that inexpressible and glorious joy? That you can share the hope that you have with the people around you. Do you know the power of the Word alive in your heart? Do you hunger for the truth that Peter knew? Do you desire to align yourself with God's Word? Do you see the mystery that even the angels long to understand? Over this next couple of months, we're going to explore Peter's heart for the church and see Jesus speaking through him to us, that we can know the power of the message of Jesus alive in our hearts and the promise of life that he has for us as we live in him. Read this for yourselves. 1 and 2 Peter, take the time, study them, memorize them, fill your heart with the Word. Hear the heart of this man who walked with God on earth. Listen to the words of Jesus alive in him and hear what Jesus has for you too, just like he had for Peter. And let's see where Jesus is going to take us. Are we ready to be changed? Let's find out. Let's pray together. Father God, we thank you for your Word. We thank you for these stories. We thank you for these people that walked with you. We thank you for Peter and for his journey. That on that seashore, tending to his nets, preparing to go out fishing, he abandoned it all at the call you laid before him to follow you. He couldn't have begun to imagine what he was going to experience over those next 3 years and the weight that you were going to place on his shoulders to be the rock upon which you were going to build your church. He was not ready. He was not capable. But your Spirit alive in him empowered him to allow us to sit here today. God, you are good. Your plans are incredible. Your work is so mighty, and we are so blessed to be a part of it. And so, God, let us be found faithful. Let us know what it means to walk in the power of your Word alive in us. Fill our hearts and our minds with a hunger for your Word, for your Spirit, for your people. That together we can walk with you and share the hope and the joy of the resurrection with people around us. We ask humility, we ask forgiveness, and we ask that you would fill us. Teach us, Lord, as we walk through this together. In Jesus' name, amen.